Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's roll out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, I did say Friday. Well, maybe I did. Let's see. There we go.
Start spreading the news.
You know, sometimes it takes a little bit to get that music going. But anyway, Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
All right, for a second, I thought that Frank had the laryngitis.
Yeah, for a minute he did there. You know, the music just didn't want to play right away. So, but we're okay now. So we shall see. And you know, Stu, I know you've been very concerned about where Lionel Messi is going to end up. Now I saw that PSG is ready to offer him a 3-year deal. So maybe he'll end up there.
If he accepts it.
So, yeah, no, I get a kick out of it. I didn't realize, you know, and I know soccer is a big deal overseas, but I didn't realize how much money those guys made. I guess he's making like $35 million a year on a contract, and we complain about baseball players.
Yeah, I saw the briefly about the article, but I didn't see how much money was involved in that. I don't see how that could be possible. Is that lucrative? Soccer over there?
You know, it
kind of a salary?
They hand out these kind of contracts. I mean, he was with Barcelona forever. I mean, he was with that team almost 20 years. I think it was like officially 16. But, yeah, they couldn't come to an agreement because he just wanted more money. They couldn't come to a financial agreement, so they decided to let him go. And, and they don't have the dollar amount here on what PSG is offering. So it'll be interesting to see if we get some figures out of it. But, yeah, I was just shocked when I saw the number. And I get that he's a great player, but, you know, soccer here isn't really looked at as – that type of sport.
No, this is the only country where it's not looked upon as a major sport. For some reason, it just never seems to have taken off here, despite many attempts.
So, yeah, you know, and I know they, you know, they have the certain leagues and those kind of things. You know, there's a professional league for both men and women. But, yeah, I... come an interest for me.
No, and it's never. Years ago, when the Sting had both indoor and outdoor teams, there was some more interest generated in the Chicago area than previously. And they lasted a few years here, and they were quite popular at one time. But that was it. That was the only team I could think of in terms of soccer that ever had some kind of fan base here.
Yeah. Looking at it here, Messi actually earned $97 million with his salary and his bonuses, and then he cashed another $33 million in endorsements. So that puts him on top. Cristiano Ronaldo is second. He made $70 million off salary and bonuses and $50 million off endorsements. So, yeah, apparently there, if you are a talented soccer player, there is big money out there for you. So.
And I'm surprised that they would offer him a 3-year deal because he's been around a long time. And, I mean, you never know when his legs are going to go out because that's such a grueling sport to compete in.
Yeah,
year
and
he's
34.
Yeah, he must have started really young.
Definitely, Yeah, oh yeah, they start over there, you know, geez. I think you can play at 16 to get rolling as a professional, and you can even start training well before that. So yeah, there's I didn't realize there was that much money involved.
Yeah, it was, well, of course, because we concentrate on the sports that are popular here, and certainly soccer is not one of them.
Yeah, no, you know, like you said, it just never, for whatever reason, ever took off. So, but yeah, it looks like it's going to work out okay for Messi. I mean, even if he doesn't get a great deal here or he only plays a few more years, I'd like to think he'd be okay.
I don't think he's going to have any financial problems.
Yeah, at least you wouldn't think so, right? You know, but again, we never know. So, but we do have one baseball game going right now. There was just one. It's the local game, the Cubs against the White Sox this weekend, and we'll get to it in a minute. But there was some breaking news here, Stu, right before you and I hit the air. I saw that Major League Baseball has suspended A's outfielder Ramon Laureano for 80 games after a positive PED test. So what do you make of that? He's been quite helpful for the A's, you know, and it's just kind of one of those things.
Well, he's done for the season, obviously, and even part of next season as well. That's certainly not going to help the A's very much in their punch to try to get a wild card slot. It's got to hurt.
Yeah, the A's have 53 games left this season. So he'll obviously miss the remainder of those. And then he'll have to take 27 games off next season.
Which means the
entire
month of April will be he won't be able to play next year.
Right. He will be allowed to go to spring training. The rule doesn't inhibit that, so he will be able to do that. But he put out the general BS statement we get. He said, "I never knowingly ingest any banned substances and put the game that I love all my life at risk." And he tested positive for nandrolone. So,
and that they caught it rather quickly, it sounded like. I mean, it's hard to believe that he would be stupid enough to take a banned substance like that and do something that's stupid.
Yeah,
basically,
androlone is a steroid, is basically what he's taking. It's an anabolic steroid. So, you know, that he was just, you know, however you want to look at it, trying to get stronger by the BS that they didn't knowingly ingest anything, because we all know that's garbage. It's just what they have to say. Luckily, the A's have, you know, they did trade for Starling Marte right before the deadline, so he'll be able to take over in center field. And they have a plethora of outfielders that can fill in and are, while they're not the defenders that Laureano is, they're just as, you know, capable offensively. So it shouldn't affect them too much.
Well, it was very, it turned out to be a very, very fortunate decision for them to get Marte, because he's having a good season. He's a good fielder, good hitter. And he's, 33? So if he does the job for them, maybe they could even consider signing him for next year as well.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I believe they've already said that they have no plans to bring him back, because he's going to be out of that A's price range where they like to sign guys. So,
yeah, they're one of their, the Oakland is considered a small market team, even though they're right across the bay from San Francisco.
So, yeah, you know, and Marte is still on that really friendly deal he picked up with the Pirates, where he's only making $12.5 million this year. So I'm sure he's looking for a big payday, and somebody out there is going to give it to him. I mean, he's not going to get the $30 million a year that some of these guys are raking in. But he'll end up in probably in the 20s, being that he's 30, 32. He'll be 33 in October. So, he can easily get a 3 or 4 year deal if that's something a team wants to go with.
I wonder what team you think might go after him, because he certainly has a lot of value.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because, obviously there are a lot of outfielders, but you just never know where a team sees a guy fitting in. If the Cubs aren't lying and they've honestly talked about going out and getting big name guys, he'd be the perfect center fielder for them, wouldn't he?
He would. He certainly would be a terrific addition to the Cubs, and I would hate to see them get him and release Ian Happ, but I mean, hey, it's a business, right?
Yeah. Well, again, we'll see a lot of how it plays off. If the Twins decide to move on from Byron Buxton because they just, for whatever reason, can't come to a contract agreement, maybe they think they're in a decent place to contend again next year. Maybe they take a shot with a guy like Marte. He would be a easy fill-in for them just to plug right in center field and take Buxton's spot. There's various other teams where he would fit in easily depending on what kind of moves they want to make. So it won't be difficult for him to find work, but it will be interesting to see what the A's do and if they make any kind of attempt to bring him back, because they don't really carry a big time payroll. I get it. They don't draw, and their park is easily one of the worst in the leagues, which, hinders fans from wanting to go there. But, Yoenis Cespedes first came over, it was a real surprise that he ended up signing with the A's. So they have laid out money before for players. So maybe this will be one of those exceptions they make, and they go there.
Yeah, I think it would be in their best interest to do this. But, of course, as you pointed out, they have a limited payroll. So I don't know what Marte would be looking for. What, four years at 80, maybe? Something like that? Or is that not enough for him?
I would guess 4 years at 80 or 90 would probably be where he would land. And, I mean, looking at the A's payroll, believe it or not, their highest paid player under contract is Elvis Andrews at $14 million a year. And the Rangers are paying $6.75 million of that a year from the trade. So the A's are only handling about a little less than $8 million. So there aren't any big time salaries on this team just yet.
Well, if he performs well for them and for the last month or two of the season, I think it would be in their wise of them to consider making that kind of a move. I think it would really serve them well.
So, yeah, and I can't see them not being able to put this deal together. I mean, I get it. Matt Chapman and Matt Olson each have 2 years left of arbitration, so their salaries are going to jump. They're going to have to, figure out something there. And Sean Manna is going to get is going to get a nice salary bump in his last year of arbitration. But, even so, I mean, we're looking at a team that's only carrying a payroll of $87 million. That's got to be one of the lower ones in Major League Baseball.
It has to be, definitely. And I wonder what Tampa's money structure is. Are they around that number, or are they a little bit higher?
Tampa, believe it or not, is actually at $67 million
Wow.
for this year.
Yeah, that is that's amazing that they continue to contend year after year with the limited amount of money at their disposal, but they seem to do it, as does Oakland.
Yeah. You know, definitely two of the smarter, more well-run teams in baseball. So
you wonder why they all can't. All the teams can't do that.
Yeah, you know, and I think a lot of it has to do with your scouting and how you see players. Because I was thinking the same thing. I know you and I have talked about this a couple times. And there's something about the way teams like Tampa and Oakland look at players that other teams don't. And they kind of play to that player's strength.
Yeah, and it's worked out very well for them. I wonder what their scouts get. And have their scouts been with them a long time that evaluate the talent?
You know, that I don't know. I'm not sure who's scouting where or how they're, you know, how they're working, you know, working things out. But you would think, you know, with the way it's set up, they would want to keep these guys around because obviously they're finding them players.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, I guess it's kind of an obscure thing. I wonder what a good major league scout gets income-wise.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, you know, that would be a, you know, kind of. I'm not sure if that information is even readily available out there, but you know, it's possible. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would think if you've got the, you know, the right scout, you want to hang on to that guy or girl.
It's not easy. It's not an easy job being a scout. There's a lot of travel involved, and of course you have to make the right evaluations and do the right thing and make the right decisions. So I think a good, valuable scout would certainly warrant having a nice salary to go along with that, what he's done for a team. But I'm not really sure what the average scout gets. And as you pointed out, it may not be even disclosed any place or not. Or I suppose if we could look it up eventually, maybe we do one of your favorite search engines might be able to have something that might give you some information. But I think most of the fans don't really care about that. They're just looking what the players get and go from there.
Yeah, the only thing I came up with, you know, I used Dan's favorite search engine, which was Bing, and I typed in highest paid. First I started with MLB Scout, then I started with Baseball Scout, and it kept giving me highest paid players. I finally found one here that says the average for the Major League Baseball Scout is $32,270 a year.
Not very much for what those guys go through.
No, you know, and my guess is, you know, obviously a lot, you know, they have one hell of a tax return to do with travel and mileage and all the stuff that goes into being a scout. So, yeah, it's probably quite an interesting job. I mean, I would be you know, it would definitely be something I would be interested in trying to see how it works out.
Yeah, I think you would enjoy it and probably do a good job at it. And I'm wondering if the scouts are single people in the main or married, because it would be hell on a married couple, because, you know, all the amount of traveling involved. And then, of course, there are so many players from the Dominican Republic, for example, and that the scouts check even when they're 16. That they're out checking them out and seeing what kind of talent they have. So the amount of travel has to be enormous. So it's not easy if you're married and doing that thing for a living.
It does look here like they average that the highest paid scouts make $62,660 a year is what they go with there. That's through the Bureau of Labor and Statistics.
Well, you did some interesting searches on that, and it seems to me that a scout, for example, for Oakland or Tampa, should warrant have even getting more than that, but of course we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you do wonder if, you know, that's where they're spending their money. You know, instead of paying players, they're finding guys to find them players.
Yeah, and, well, whatever they're doing, it's working for them because with a limited payroll, they seem to contend year after year after year, maybe not for the top spot, but certainly for a wild card. And, of course, Tampa this year is in first place.
Yeah.
Tampa's in first place now.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they have surpassed Boston. They're in first place in the East. So, and you do wonder if the Reds now, you know, can the Red Sox right the ship, or are they just going to kind of continue to slide? Like, honestly, I thought they were going to do a while ago. They held on a lot longer than I thought. So,
are they going to slide out of a wild card spot? It's pretty hard to see them not getting a wild card slot.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it looks like they're in a real good spot. I mean, they would have to hit a really bad skid. And even though they are scuffling now, you know, they're 3-7 in their last 10. They're still only a game and a half behind Tampa. So, you know, I would like to think they're going to end up being a playoff team. You know, you do never know. You know, because that East Division is tough with the exception of Baltimore. You know, the Yankees are a good team. Toronto is a good team. Obviously, we know Tampa is a good team. So, and you play them guys, you know, those teams more than any other. So, you can hit the skids really quickly.
Right now, with, of course, Boston looking like a lock for at least a wild card spot, who else looks like a lock in the American League for a wild card slot?
Oakland is currently holding the second wild card, but the Yankees have cut into that lead. They're only a game and a half out of the wild card spot now, and the Blue Jays are only 2.5 out. So we'll have to see if Oakland can hang on. Oakland is only 4 games back of Houston in the West, so it's not out of the realm of possibilities that they could catch them as well. So it's going to be – these final playoff spots are going to be really interesting for at least the East and the West, because the AL Central is a terrible division and the White Sox have a 9.5 game lead. Even if they lose today, it'll just be – you know, the worst it's going to be is, what, 8.5? So they're they look like they're kind of locked into a playoff, but the other spots are, you know, you could really say the remaining, five are still up for grab.
Which, of course, is unlike the National League, where at least two locks would be the Dodgers and the Padres, I would think.
Well, you know, don't settle on the Padres just yet. They are... They've kind of had their struggles now. They do still have a 3.5 game lead in the wild card over Cincinnati, so they look good. But you got to figure it's the Dodgers and the Giants that are locking down playoff spots, right? I mean, the Giants have built a 4-game lead in the West, and I think they have the best record in baseball. Yeah, they have the best record in baseball at 69-40.
Right, and I would think, I have a feeling now, and I'm quite surprised that I'm going to say it, I think the Giants are going to wind up in first place when it's all said and done.
Yeah, well, you know, and that's going to make it really interesting because, you know, if it is the Dodgers and the Padres, they're going to get one game to move on.
That's right.
So
they have one game playoff between the two wildcard teams, and then season over for the loser.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you look at it, and I mean, do you want to go? You know, and it looks like the Padres would probably go with Yu Darvish. Do you want to go into a one-game playoff with Yu Darvish on the mound against the Dodgers, who will have their choice of Walker Buehler, Max Scherzer, or Clayton Kershaw to be their starter?
Yeah, you wouldn't like their chances against that trio.
You know, and then you've got to wonder, you know, will the Padres even have Fernando Tatis?
Yeah, he could be
done for
the year.
They haven't decided on if they'll have surgery. You know, his 10 days are coming up. He's dealt with this injury for quite a while. You know, if he's done for the year, you've got to figure, while they'll probably, while it looks like they have a really good chance of still being a playoff team, they're not a World Series contender without him. He's got to be there.
Yeah. And it would be very dangerous if he decided to try to gut it out for the last month and a half of the season, because that could be very harmful for his long-term career. And I don't think the Padres would want to take a chance doing that.
No, and, you know, the Padres even said they were going to make the best decision for the next 10 years, not this year. So at least it sounds like they're being smart. Who knows if they will, but, you know, like I said, at least it sounds like they're being smart.
I hope so, because this player doesn't come along all that often.
No.
What is talent?
So yeah, we'll have to see how it goes or what they decide, and what his injury situation even is. So
yeah, it's a bad injury to their best player.
But yeah, and you know, unfortunately for him, it just can, you know, he keeps getting the same, you know, that same problem with that shoulder over and over.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be improving anytime soon. Too bad. Some of these players, these great talented players, some of them turn out to be injury prone.
Yeah.
For
you
one
know,
of
on,
these
on, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a shame. You don't want to see anything decided by an injury to a top player, especially a team that's in contention.
Yeah, you know, it's unfortunately it's part of the game, but the way it kind of goes, you end up dealing with these things, and we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes, and it should be an interesting month and a half of the season before the playoffs start, at least.
Yeah, you would think. You know, it looks like there's some interesting races stacking up and building up, and we'll have to see how they play out.
Yep, and I guess it was a wise decision on baseball to add in the extra wild card, because it does generate some interest.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. It's not perfect by any means, but I understand you can't make it a series, because then the other teams have to sit around and wait.
Yeah.
And you know, that's just really not fair to them. But it adds more interest, and it keeps more teams involved, and that's what they really wanted. So
I don't see any change in the current playoff structure when the CBA is renegotiated for the next season.
Yeah, no, I would be shocked if there were any changes like that whatsoever. So.
Well, I hate to say it, but I'm afraid that the DH is going to become a universal thing starting next year.
Oh, yeah, it is. That's a guarantee. As soon as they agree on the next collective bargaining agreement, everybody's going to have the DH. There's no doubt about that. So.
Well, we're hoping, and I'm sure this is going to happen, that there will not be any 7-inning doubleheaders next season, or a runner on second base when the extra inning starts.
Yeah, they have said, I know for sure Rob Manfred has said that they won't have the seven-inning doubleheader rule. Now, he hasn't said yet what they're going to do about the runner on second. So we'll have to see how that goes. But, yeah, I hope they get rid of it. It's got to go. I mean, it's easily one of the stupidest rules they've ever put in.
It really
and
is.
It needs to go away. So, you know, I mean, it's not Little League. There's no reason we need to have to try to get the game over like this. You know, just because the media doesn't like staying for extra innings, that's too bad. It's their job. So,
exactly right.
You know,
tough. Oh, by the way, speaking of extra innings and that rule, it looks like the White Sox will be starting the 10th inning with a runner on second base.
Yeah, I did see that. I believe Ian Happ struck out with a runner on second to end the ninth.
That is correct.
So we will see.
Did you expect anything else?
You know, well, we'll see who comes out to pitch for who, and you know how the rest of the you know the game goes, because you know the White Sox have used their top, well, technically four relievers with Kopech, Bummer, Kimbrel, and Hendricks. So I don't know who's left on their side, and God only knows who the hell the Cubs are going to run out there. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
So,
not with their bullpen, but I find it very ironic that Kimbrel would come in and cost the White Sox a potential easy win, because he has not looked as bad in the entire season. And I'm wondering, is it because the Cubs are used to him and know a little bit more about his style because he is with them for the entire season? Do they know something?
The odd thing, though, was the fact that it was Romine who hit the homer, and I don't believe Romine played with him because he was hurt, or in the minors. The brothers hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was his first home run of the year, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just a bad outing.
Yeah, he was bad today. You could see that his control was not there, and all his pitches seemed to be elevated and quite hittable today, unlike what we're used to seeing with him.
You do wonder if maybe he was a little too amped up being back in Wrigley Field, you know, after playing there, what, the year and a half or a couple years or however long he was there. So, you know, I mean, that's just, you know, one of those things that happened.
Which shows you that there is nobody who is unhittable in baseball, no matter how good their stats.
Oh, no. Yeah, I mean, you can, you know, I mean, guys have been called unhittable, and, you know, we hear that quite a bit. Oh, my God, he's just this or that. And, you know, that's just the media getting excited about a guy, and they want to generate your interest, so he's unhittable.
Yeah, and sometimes it doesn't always work out long-term for the pitcher, too. I saw, and I'm sure you saw this, that the former Houston pitcher passed away the other day, and this guy was a superstar.
Yeah,
and he was treated really shabby by Houston, by the way.
Yeah. So yeah, he was very, very talented, and I don't know if he ever got the accolade he really deserved.
He was unhittable for a couple of years, and the sad thing was that the Houston fans and the press were accusing him of being lazy when he was not saying his arm bothered him, and no one believed him until he had a stroke.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, you know, I mean, and obviously the other drawback was the fact that he played on some really bad teams. He was a very good pitcher on some really bad teams.
Yeah, exactly right. And oh, by the way, speaking of bad pitchers, the Cubs' latest closer came in and gave up a two-run homer immediately to a Goodwin.
Oh, okay. So, was that Rodriguez?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yeah. The guy that supposedly throws 100 miles an hour?
Yeah. Well, they all throw 100 miles an hour now. That's
right. Something
new.
I looked at the pitch that he hit for the home run, and I thought to myself, in your prime, you would have crushed the ball even further than he did.
Probably, you know. So. But, yeah, you know, the sad part is I think I picked that reliever up in one of my fantasy leagues because one of my guys got hurt, so I just cost myself as well.
This is not the league where you were on a roll winning lately. This is something else, right?
No.
This is our yearly of our yearly fantasy leagues. So one of the
free ones we do.
I know you've been successful the last few days on FanDuel.
Well, until last night, I was successful. I got my brains beat in last night. So.
Your winning streak came to an end.
Yeah, we have to bounce back tonight and see if it does any better. So.
Well, you had one bad day, but maybe you can make up for it tonight.
The plus side is, you know, I had that $11 day. That'll pay for the rest of my week. You know, that put my week in the green. Because, you know, I only bet a dollar at a time, if that. So I'm, you know, that was fine. I'm okay.
When you win or lose, you don't cash in or pay the money off, do you? You just keep a tab for the entire season and you pay off at the end of the year?
It rolls over into my account, and then if I want to remove it, they'll send it to me. So.
But obviously you're not betting a lot of money, so it's something that you enjoy doing, and it's fun. As long as you do things in moderation, gambling can be fun.
Yeah, no, I would have died of a heart attack by now if I tried to do this for a living or, you know, bet big money on something. I couldn't handle the stress. So.
Yeah, it's, can you imagine the stress if someone is a big bettor and goes to the racetrack and they're in the home stretch and there's a three, and his horse maybe is winning and the other horse is gaining on him? That'd be hard on the heart, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. So. You know, but yeah, you know, like I have my lineups all set for tonight. The only thing I have to figure out is if Mookie Betts is playing, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be in the Dodger lineup, so I think I'm okay there. You know, and we'll, you know, I've got two lineups ready to go, and we'll see how they do.
Well, maybe you can bounce back tonight.
Yeah, I'm hoping. You know, it would be nice. You know, my big negative last night was I had Dallas Keuchel as my pitcher, and he didn't. I thought, you know, I really thought the White Sox would bounce back after getting beat 9-1 by the Royals, and unfortunately, they didn't hit again.
Right.
And Keuchel didn't put up, you know, he didn't put up big strikeout numbers or anything. You know, and you really, one of the things you really need to do, especially on FanDuel, since this is the one I play. I don't know about the other sites. But on FanDuel, you need that starting pitcher to really either pick up a win or rack up a lot of strikeouts, and Keuchel didn't do either. So that really puts you in a hole.
Don't you get credit if he has a quality game? If, say, he pitches six innings and only strikes out a couple but only gives up a run, does that count for something at least?
Yeah, well, you get points for the innings pitched. You lose points for any runs he gives up. Any runs he gives up and any walks, and then you get bigger points for the win. I think a win is like 7 points. And then I believe you get a point per strikeout. So if you get a big-time strikeout performance, you can really, you know, you can really rack up the pitching points. And that, you know, like that's the big thing I look for, is I look for the best starting pitching matchups. And I just hope I can get something out of that. And like my one guy, I'm going with Chris Bassitt of the A's tonight against the Rangers. You know, because the Rangers aren't a very good team, and I'm hoping Bassitt can put up some big numbers for me. So we'll see.
You also have to take in consideration the Rangers may be a bad team, but do they hit for contact? Or do they strike out a lot? I'm sure you do your research on that as well.
Well, you know, the tough part with anything when it comes to baseball-wise is, does anybody hit for contact anymore?
Yeah.
You know, because strikeouts are just such a joke when it comes to baseball now that it's just ridiculous. And, I mean, literally, you can almost get 10 strikeouts a night out of any pitching staff.
You think something should be done about that? I don't know if they're going to do anything with the mound, adjust the mound. Are they talking about that? Because it makes for a very tedious game if there's so many strikeouts.
Yeah, well, you know, and the tough part is it's not pitching that's the problem. It's hitting, and we all know it. You know, because of the focus on analytics and home runs, the strikeout no longer matter. So being a quality contact hitter is garbage now in today's game. And just to help you out, the Rangers are 15th in strikeouts, so they're middle of the pack. They have 963. Believe it or not, the Tampa Bay Rays lead baseball in strikeouts with 1,089. Guess who's second?
Cubs.
There you go. 1,061 times the Cubs have struck out this season.
Yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me.
So,
in terms of salary, go ahead. I want to ask you something, but go ahead. Finish what you were saying. Sorry.
Texas is also
one of the poor hitting teams in the league. They have the second worst batting average at .224. They're only better than Seattle. So I'm not expecting a ton of offense out of them tonight. So I'm hoping Bassett gives me a good performance, you know, six or seven strikeouts and picks up a W. So
I did want to ask you a hypothetical. A batter bats .210, but he hits 40 homers a year and drives in 85 runs. Does he deserve more than a player who hits .320 and only hits 8 home runs?
In today's game, yes, because the focus is on home runs. In reality, no. You know, it's embarrassing that these guys go up to the plate like they do and barely make contact. Like I heard today, Joey Gallo is one of the guys of a handful of players who got to 100 home runs before he got to 100 singles in his career.
Incredible.
That's a complete joke. But, you know, everybody thinks he's a world beater.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned this to you in the email the other day. Our old Cub buddy, Javi Baez, had a great day for the Mets the other day, right? He batted five times, didn't get any hits, and every bat was a strikeout. And that's even worse than a golden sombrero. That's truly embarrassing for a major leaguer to do that.
And the sad part is he's going to get a long-term deal next year and probably make over $30 million a year and still strike out 150 times a season, and nobody's going to care.
Yeah, I guess he'll wind up hitting, 30 to 40 home runs a year, driving 80, 90 runs, but I don't think a major leaguer should ever have a day like that.
No, you wouldn't think, but now it happens. You know, five is a little extreme, but there are plenty of guys who do it four times in a game, and nobody even really notices now because it's no longer important.
No, it's truly.
You know,
it ruins the game of baseball.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the saddest things baseball has become is the fact that, you know, if you're a good contact hitter and you can go through hitting, you know, 300 plus your entire, you know, minor league career, you fight to get a call up because you're not putting up home runs.
Yeah, yeah. And it does happen to contact hitters from time to time. I think I may have told you the story. Cubs had a third baseman, Don Hoak, H-O-A-K. And one day at Wrigley Field, he went 0-for-6, struck out every time. And I believe it was against four or five different pitchers, too. So that was a horrific day for a decent contact hitter. Now no one thinks about it if a guy strikes out five times. Although I thought that I wonder how the fans in New York thought about Javi's performance when he went 0-for-5 with five strikeouts. Because they're not a forgiving. Forgiving. They're not a forgiving.
As long as he hits home runs, they're not going to care. But Baez is actually the major league leader in strikeouts by one going into tonight's action. Matt Chapman is second, Joey Gallo's third, Eugenio Suarez is fourth, and believe it or not, the American League MVP, Shohei Ohtani, is fifth. So he strikes out a boatload of times, too, and nobody cares. And I think I told you last Saturday, I finally got to watch an Angels game, and I was interested in seeing Ohtani. He batted four times. I missed the double that he had that he drove in the run. I was in the men's room at the time. The other three times I saw him strike out swinging, and two of the three times he swung at pitches to strike out that bounced in front of home plate.
Yeah,
but nobody cared because all they talked about was his power and the double and the fact that he's the baseball leader in home runs. Oh, and he also pitches. Nobody cared about his at-bat. Didn't matter.
Yeah, I heard
he went up there naked.
He's a lock now to win the MVP this year. No matter what happens the rest of the season, they say he's a lock to win it.
Yeah, with the way the media kisses his rear end because he pitches, and everybody adds that in. Well, he pitches too. Do you know that? You know, it doesn't matter what else he does. He could literally go 0 for the rest of the year, and they would still kiss his rear end and give him the award. You know, sorry, he's not the most valuable player. Is he very good? Yes. Is he the most valuable player? No. No, not at all. It's probably Guerrero Jr. because he's having a fantastic year on a contending team. The Angels are an embarrassment to baseball. Again.
Yeah, no playoffs for them this year again, that's for sure.
Yeah.
No matter how good Ohtani is as both a pitcher and a hitter.
You know, and I mean, there's no doubt he's a really good player. You know, he's managed to stay healthy this year. We'll see if he can continue that. But that doesn't make him most valuable. You know, but they're acting like we're watching something, you know, like they act like this is something Jackie Robinson did when he broke the color barrier. Oh, my God, he pitches and hits. You know, there are countless guys that could have done that are in the major leagues right now if they would have just been allowed to.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, until he showed up, you weren't allowed to do that. You were either a pitcher or you were a hitter. There was no combination.
Yeah, Babe Ruth stopped pitching when he started to hit all those home runs, but he was a great pitcher too.
Right. You know, but I mean, you know, you look at some of the pitchers. Do you honestly think if Madison Bumgarner had been allowed to hit coming through the system, he wouldn't be a very good hitter right now?
He probably would have been.
You know, Travis Wood was with the Cubs for a while. He was a hell of an athlete and a really good hitter as well. You don't think he could have done it?
Yeah, I'm sure he we've seen him hit home runs a time or two, I remember.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you could go through the list of guys who – You know, the Reds have Michael Lorenzen who could easily do it, and there was even some talk of them trying it this year with him until he got hurt. So, you know, there are guys that could have easily done it. Tampa Bay has one in the minors, Brendan McKay. Or maybe it's Brandon McKay, I don't remember. But, you know, he did some DHing when he was up as a relief pitcher. So, you know, maybe he's the next guy who comes up and does it. You know, it's not the first African-American player playing in the major leagues. It's not that groundbreaking. It happens in every little league, every high school, you know, everywhere in the United, probably anywhere they play baseball. So.
Well, they say that hitting is the most difficult thing in all of sports. I've heard that before, once or twice. I still can't figure out why a major league player could strike out on a pitch that bounces in the home plate. That's the thing that always puzzled me. I know sliders are tough to hit, but if a pitch bounces into home plate, you would think that they could avoid swinging.
Yeah, well, you know, the tough part is it depends what kind of read they get on a baseball. You know, if you're reading fastball and it's a low slider, you're going to swing because it looks like a strike and then it ends up in the dirt. So, you know, with the right pitcher out there and they're hiding pitches or you, for whatever reason, just can't pick up what's going on that certain pitch, you chase it and it's like swinging at a pitch up in your eyes because you see it better, even though there's very little chance you're going to make any contact with it. But, you know, you see it, so you try to jump all over it. It's kind of the – the opposite reaction. You don't see it as well. You think it's something else. You think it's a strike. You go after it, and the next thing you know, it's bouncing. So,
well, you played in college. I notice a lot of players when they strike out, it seems like one of their hands goes off the bat. Why is that happening?
Yeah, well,
since I have it so frequently now.
That's something very new that kind of attributes it to the fact that guys aren't looking to make contact and they're swinging for the fences. Because you're swinging so hard that you kind of lose that hand on the back end. So it's more another product of what the game has turned into today. So
quite unfortunate. Quite unfortunate. And
yeah.
At one time, baseball was the number one sport, and I think it's been surpassed now by football.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, football is king. You know, I mean, people watched that terrible Hall of Fame game last night because it was football, and none of the starters played.
No.
So.
No. And, yeah, it I think maybe one of the reasons that it's so popular, maybe there's because there's only one game a week. There's only a 17-game schedule this year as compared to any of the other major sports.
Yeah, you know, that helps it. And plus, it's a very exciting game. You know, if you're not a baseball fan or there's not something about the game you like, baseball is boring to watch. You know, I've had many people tell me that, you know, people who aren't baseball fans have a tough time sitting in front of the TV and watching a game. So.
Yeah, it can be a very tedious game.
Yeah. But, all right, well, let's get into some picks here, because you were rolling last week. You went 3-1, so you're up to 51-46. Now, obviously, you can't pick the winner of today's Cubs game or Sox game. But I do have a pick for you tonight.
All right.
The USA basketball team is playing France for the gold medal. Who wins?
Well, I'm going to say USA wins that one.
You do know they have lost to France the last two times they played them, right?
Yes, I think that this time they're going to turn it around. And what time does that game start, by the way?
I believe it's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock our time live, so I will not be watching.
Well, don't forget you don't have to get up tomorrow.
Even so, I'll still be asleep by then. So, or attempting to be asleep by then, especially if it's 10 o'clock. So.
Yeah, I might.
All right, well, let's move on till tomorrow now. We have, of course, the White Sox at the Cubs. Carlos Rodon for the White Sox and gigantic Cub prospect Adbert Azalea takes the mound for the Cubs. Who wins?
White Sox.
Ooh, all right. Let us get to Sunday and let me find the pitching matchup here. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the Sunday night game on ESPN that is going to happen. Dylan Cease takes the mound for the White Sox against Zach Davies. So your first choice again is to tell me who wins the game.
Well, I will go for a White Sox sweep.
Ooh, all right. And then the interesting one for this one, Sunday night. All right, let's go with what do I want to do here? God, you know, I had so many ideas, but they're tough to do. How about let's go with which team records more hits in the game?
Well, once again, I got to go for the White Sox.
Oh, all right. So you are White Sox across the board. You don't think they're going to win the gold medal in the basketball game tonight, do you? Because that would be a weird pick.
That would be something if they could do that. But no, I think I think they will be watching the game, relaxing after they win this one tonight. By the way, they've scored 4 runs in the tenth inning, and they're still batting.
Well, you know, you get those extra guys on base. That really helps you out. Oh wait, you only get one extra guy on base.
That's
so
right.
It's just the. The horrible Cub bullpen that came in and exploded, right?
Next time he watch a Cub game, they have this new pitcher, Rucker, I think his name is. Have you seen him with a mustache?
No.
Next time you get a chance to watch him, he reminds me of Dexter Loomis of the of NXT.
Oh.
I don't know why.
Who made the error that cost the Cubs all the runs in that inning? Because I obviously don't have the game on. So
I believe it was the shortstop who, but that only cost him two runs. Don't forget the first Goodwin hit the two-run homer just to start out the inning.
Well, only one of the runs Rodriguez gave up was earned. The other three were unearned. So three of them were consistent with
the
error.
With the runner on second, and the batter hits a homer, the runner on second doesn't count as an earned run for the pitcher. I guess that's the way it works,
right? Yeah. Yeah, because technically he shouldn't have been on. You know, if the play is made correctly,
right,
he shouldn't have been on base.
Right. So, yeah, it was a pretty bad play by the shortstop. I think it may have been Romine. It was a ground ball, and he threw it into the dugout.
Oh, actually, they have it here as Duffy. So the third baseman. Does that sound familiar?
Maybe it was Duffy. I don't know.
Yeah, they have it as his second error of the day, so he's playing some stellar. Just one. Okay. Just his second error of the season. So, yeah, it says Duffy to throw. So, yeah, it must have been a throwing error. So I think that's who it was.
The Cup fans are all excited to see him back in the action because he's a contact hitter after he missed so much time, and he's hitting a robust 230 or so.
But he's a contact hitter.
He's a 230 contact hitter.
Yeah. You know, and the funny thing is this game was a real pitcher's duel until the bullpens got involved.
Yeah.
You know, both Lance Lynn and Cole Hendricks did really well. So
as to be expected, and they were pitching quickly and both had good stuff and the bullpen.
And with
came
the
in,
wind blowing
boy, and the wind was blowing
yeah,
out,
you know,
right. But the most disappointing performance today has to be from Kimbrel.
Oh, easily. Even if the White Sox win, he's easily the most disappointing performer. You know, because you don't expect the Cubs relievers to do anything. I mean, hell, you don't even know most of these guys' names. When, you know, they come in and you got to start Googling it to figure out who the hell they are. But, yeah, when you see a guy like Kimbrel come in, you expect, you know, like I emailed you, you know, because they went to the Sox studio update, and I thought they said he cruised through the eighth inning.
Yeah.
And just before we got on is when I realized he gave up three runs and he was a nightmare. So Liam Hendricks had to come in and bail him out.
He did. And you think it was because he was ramped up playing the Cubs?
You know, it's possible. I mean, there's so many things that go into pitching. You know, I mean, there are days guys just don't have it. But he didn't walk anybody. So, yeah, I'm thinking he was just a little too hyped up to be back at Wrigley Field and playing his former team, even though I don't know how many of these guys he actually knows besides Wilson Contreras.
No, that's right. But he certainly looked like his pitches were hittable and they were elevated today. And his breaking ball didn't seem to be moving too much. So just one of those games, I guess.
Yeah, well, you know, and if you do throw a breaking ball too hard, it won't go anywhere. So it's possible he was just trying to throw too hard. You know, like Max Scherzer admitted that the other day in his first Dodger start, he was amped up. He gave up a home run in the first inning. He said he was just trying to throw too hard. So, but all right, well, let's go. We're going to move on. So, all right, we're going to spend our weekend. So I hope you have a great one. We're going to Monday, 4:30. If you're not following, you're going to hear us on the channel.